Welcome. I'm Dan Daly, the publisher of the Director's Letter and Executive Insights video. And today I'm with a good friend, John Castle. John Castle is the CEO of Castle Harlan, a private equity firm in New York, a very experienced operating executive and a very experienced investor. And John's a good friend, and I asked him today to talk to us a little bit about the magical word so many of us use, but it's defined differently, and that is corporate culture. So John has seen X number of decades of management. He's seen a lot of culture, good and bad. He has some opinions. So I'm going to start off, and John, one, thanks for coming today. And if I can toss you the ball, which is a vague one, but I know you can handle it. What is John Castle's definition of corporate culture? And I realize fully, John, it may not be the same as mine. It may be different from, but I think we can learn from your definition and description of what is corporate culture, just based on your angle. So, John Castle, what is corporate culture?
Well, Dan, it's great to be with you. It's always wonderful.
It's always enjoyable, John.
It's always wonderful to be in Massachusetts and discussing these kinds of important matters.
Right.
With respect to corporate culture, there are a number of qualities. And it, obviously, when you're making an investment decision, you're
right.
Looking at the economics of a company and what the prospects are.
Right.
But you're also looking for these basic corporate cultural qualities. Mm-hmm. I think maybe the first and most important is integrity and character in the company.
Integrity and character, most important.
And are these people honest, ethical people? I'm not concerned so much about the Theranos example of a complete liar, a complete...
Maybe we'll get to that later, but I agree. That's not a good reference, John, right? But,
I mean, we can... But are the people honest and ethical in terms of all laws?
Yeah.
Respect for all proper activities. Are they honest and ethical in terms of describing situations to one another?
Okay.
I mean, if the management doesn't have a basis upon which people accurately report on what's going on and
John,
so forth.
John, I can interrupt. That is so critical that part of the culture is to report up, down, sideways in an honest way. How many companies have we seen, General Electric being one of the ones, that the boss says, I don't want to hear anything but good news. So as a result, the culture encourages you to only give me good news. Disaster. So I think your comment in integrity in terms of reporting is not unique, but very important. It's beyond the integrity of the person. It's the integrity of the structure.
If you don't report, if executives are not getting honest reports, then they are probably not going to be able to make good decisions.
Right.
Because they're going to be responding to things that are not accurate.
Right.
And dealing with reality is
right.
Very important.
Right. So, you know, when we talk about integrity, we're not talking just about maybe three drinks at dinner or padding your expense account or something minor like that. Not that that's unimportant, but let's take integrity over to your task and what you are doing and where that information goes. So I think a lot of us might say, well the people are all, there's a lot of integrity there. They're honest, they go to church, they do this, they don't pad the expense, and that's important. But we're talking about something else, the integrity of what the information you give to me, your boss. Good point, John. Okay, other things in corporate culture.
Loyalty. You need to have employees and folks that are working together and loyal to your organization and loyal to one another. And if your employees are not all rowing in a direction to help maximize things for your company, that's going to be a very serious problem.
Okay.
You're certainly going to perform at a suboptimal level.
Okay.
And part of that also means that the individual has to respect their company. Respect the roles that they are playing in the company and their fellow workers. And very important to have loyalty. And part of that's also teamwork.
That was what I was going to ask.
Are people working together? I was recently on a plane and I listened to a woman on the phone talking to a coworker where they were going to submarine one of their other coworkers.
Really?
Clearly not.
Not teamwork.
Not teamwork.
And frankly, that stretches it out. Not loyal to the company, because they're doing that creates a subculture that is just plain wrong.
Right.
Just plain wrong. Exactly. So it isn't just teamwork. It's teamwork that leads to loyalty, which are all part of the corporate culture.
Are we all rowing together, trying to maximize the performance of our company?
Okay. I said integrity and honesty. We did discuss, can't beat enough, the integrity of the reports that you send up. It's part of your job. Loyalty to the company, that you might not say one thing in the parking lot, but on a weekend you're bad-mouthing your company, okay? And the other thing is respect for your company. Are you proud of what that company is doing and their product? Not that they're perfect, but you don't bad-mouth their products. And the other thing I think
maybe
is,
they are perfect in that everybody is trying to make it perfect.
Right, okay.
We know that the company doesn't do everything perfect.
Good point, John.
But good point. But we're all trying to get there. We're aspiring to be perfect.
John, I'm going to step back, and those are four or five good items that make up corporate culture. Now, John Castle has arrived at a company that maybe he's going to be a significant investor in. He might buy the entire company. He might even be chairman of the board. John pulls into the parking lot, okay? And how is John going to ascertain some of these things that we just discussed? Integrity, loyalty, okay? Respect for each other and teamwork. You walked in the front door, John. How are you going to identify those things?
Well, you know, if you find out that the...
That's an unfair question, by the way.
You can tell a great deal about the values of the company and so forth. And does the chief executive's office?
Okay. So you meet the chief.
Take half the floor.
Great point. How much real estate belongs to the chief executive? John, I didn't think of that. I had a friend.
I remember.
That is so.
A chief executive of a very successful company, and he always drove a Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to communicate frugality, so he clearly could afford any kind of car. He could have showed up with the Rolls Royce, but he showed up with the Volkswagen.
So one thing is that's a great one. One thing is the physical space occupied by the CEO. Yeah. Okay. What about when John Castle?
What does he want? Oh, we'll have a few sandwiches at lunch here. We'll be together. I'll bring in the team, or we're going to go to Pavillon.
Right. Or we have our own private dining room, and I've reserved it for us today.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine, I'll leave the company out. The CEO had half of the top floor of this company. He had his own large conference room, plus a board conference room, and his own dining room, and his own kitchen. And he walked in and said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get rid of this. But being a small businessman, and I'd never seen that. And I went up to meet him, and he said, this is all going to change. I just couldn't believe that there were his own conference room, okay, separate from his office, okay, plus that led to the major boardroom, and his own kitchen. I mean, God almighty. Okay, John. You're putting a lot of...
It tells you about what his priorities are.
Good point. What is that, John? What is that tell you?
What is he focused on?
Yes.
And it's how glamorous my life is, how wonderful it is. And so
you've looked at his physical space, and then you come, what does that mean to John Castle, possibly investors? Okay, so that's the CEO. And, you know, we've all seen parts of that.
I'll give another example of the man with the Volkswagen.
Yep.
He also had his office at the, so that he could look out and see everybody who was coming and going to the company.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
He knew when the GE, General Motors engineers showed up.
Right, right, right.
He, in other words, he was being involved as opposed to having a headquarters
off by himself that was brought down the August hallway to the bot. Okay. So that's the CEO. And I think those are great. I mean, I think we might have seen it. We might have been impressed, but we don't realize quite how much an important an impact. All right, John, other things that you look for, you looked at and talked and met with the CEO, other things you look for early on in your visit that tell you a little bit about the corporate culture?
Well, I think the issue of winning attitude.
Winning attitude, all right.
Are we a company that's going to try to be a leader in our field?
Okay.
And we're going to produce the best products and do them very efficiently and mm-hmm. so forth. Or are, you know, if you create kind of a losing attitude,
mm-hmm.
The result is that the company probably will.
John, I'm going to push you a bit. Okay. So the people you meet talk all about a winning attitude. How do you, in a short period of time on your first visit, determine whether that's really true or just a lot of noise?
I think if you talk to them about their product development
okay.
ideas,
okay.
How they feel about their products in the market, what are their objectives? We're going to make the best radiator.
Okay. All right.
We've secured the outstanding engineers
okay.
to develop
okay.
a very special product.
Since you bore down and validate that winning attitude is composed of certain things, mm-hmm. they have a good product, but they're trying to improve it. They're working on the next generation. They're aware of what the competition is. It isn't just saying, our products are great, we have a winning attitude, we're going to stay a winner. Well, tell me, how in this global economy are you going to stay a winner? I think it's great that you're a winner, but how do you stay?
Well, it's an attitude.
Attitude, okay.
A winning attitude. I'll give an opposite example. This was an executive, a very senior executive at a pharmaceutical company
yep.
that I was involved with. And this this company did not do sensationally well. But when I would meet with this man, he would describe to me how his new G4, which was very beautiful and very good.
Right, right, right.
And so if I went anywhere with him, we went. It was okay.
You didn't mind that, but you weren't paying for it either. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you'd say, well, what did you do yesterday? Well, last night I went to the Yankees game. We have our private box at the Yankees.
I got my G4, I got my private box.
And
how big is your office, sir? Let me show you how big it is. Okay.
Yes, we went to the opera. We have the finest balcony.
John, all those things.
The point that I'm getting at is that he was clearly focused on the things that came with being in the office,
right,
as
right.
opposed to making a better drug less expensively.
John, it's very easy to take those things, the G4, the private box, the valet, etc., and say, well, that means that the company's successful. But in fact, it really doesn't.
It means it right now has a lot of cash flow.
That's
but it isn't going to have it.
John, you got your finance hat on. But I agree with you. But a lot of people would say, well, it has to be successful. Look how all of these things, but that might be short term, as you say, they got a lot of cash. We know how that can change, okay? In the pharmaceutical area, one lawsuit, okay? In the pharmaceutical area, one FDA unapproved item, things change very quickly. Which I want to stop there, but thank you. We've covered your definition of corporate culture. And then you've been very good responding to what you look at and when you kick the tires and come into a company regarding corporate culture. And I think your Volkswagen one is great. We also can bring that to 2023. Sonny Belwani, who was the co-partner of Elizabeth Holmes at Theranos, what did he drive and park by the front door? It wasn't a Volkswagen. It was a $200,000 black Lamborghini. So we'll leave our viewers with just that thought. Okay, John, thank you very much. Please stay with us. I hope you've enjoyed it. And we'll be back and continue our discussion with John Castle.